Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as United pull out another madness, and it's not in a good way. It's got me saying, what the hell are we actually doing here? We'll talk about what Fabrizio Romano said. It involves Belabor as well. We've also got updates around two Bournemouth players we might be signing. Nico Williams as a potential wing option. We still haven't heard whether Harry Maguire is getting a ban by the FA, by the way. I would say no news is good news because we are actually playing in a couple of days. But remember, that's still hanging over him as well. And a few other bits to get into this morning. But look, I've got to say, fair play to the chat. Banter will always be welcome on the United Stand. Somebody said Mark must still have creative control if he's still going to be 5 minutes late for a 10 o'clock show. Yes, I'm not doing that on purpose. And I've not had a message from Gary, so it must be fine. But no, I have creative control. If I want to start at 10:05, I'll start at 10:05. If I want to start at 10:07, I'll start at 10:07. If I go past 10 past, oh, no, I'm joking. Right, let's get into it. So look, we sort of picked up on this last night, but we hadn't heard from Romano last night. We were talking about how there seemed to be, well, Andy Mitten had said on last night's show, we were talking about how Andy Mitten from The Athletic was saying that United will give Carrick the job if he gets Champions League football, which I find scandalous. I think it's incredible that bar is so low in relation to that. But this is what Fabrizio Romano had to say last night. He said, Manchester United still remain very happy with Michael Carrick. They're happy with his attitude. They're happy with his tactical approach. And they're happy with his relationship with the players. Iriola would be open to the United job, but there's been no talks so far. So look, I think this just needs to be called out. I think this has to be called out because I think this fits in with Belabor perfectly. I don't think Manchester United have got very good people running the club in relation to their PR. It's a little sports news, but I really, really don't. Because when Fabrizio Romano, who is one of the most listened to transfer experts, football journalists in the world, is saying that Manchester United are happy with Carrick, they're happy with his attitude, they're happy with the tactical approach, and they're happy with the relationship with the players, we've just lost to Leeds at home and played crap. Now, you tell me how that is good from Manchester United. Because you know what? One of the things from yesterday about announcing this deal, which I'm very excited about, and I think hopefully a lot of you will see how exciting it is. One of the things that, you see a lot of things, and there was lots of nice messages, there was a lot of rubbish, whatever, right? Okay. But one of the things that caught my eye a few times was, it's disgusting that this platform that's built its reputation on slating the club has done so well. And I thought, hold on a minute. So the United Stand is built on United not doing very well. But we haven't done very well. Like, mic drop, we haven't been near a Premier League title for 13 years. I would argue we haven't played three good games in a row for 13 years. I would say that we haven't been in the Champions League for 60% of the last 13 years. We have been shit for 13 years. So it makes me laugh when people say, oh, the United Stand's built on United being negative about United. I tell you what, if I'd been positive for the last 13 years, I think I'd need to be in hospital. I think there'd be something wrong with me. Like, we are terrible. And apparently, it's our fault. It's the fans' fault. And it just makes me laugh when I read that. When I read that, well, it's just a platform built on negativity. It's built on what we are fed. If Man United had been winning the league every year for the last year, we wouldn't have been negative, would we? If Man United played good football, we wouldn't be negative, would we? And this is where I think people just don't engage their brain. Oh, it's just so negative. You're just so negative. I don't dictate. You don't dictate the negativity. The club does. So when this morning Fabrizio Romano is saying that the club are happy with Carrick, they're happy with the tactical approach and they're happy with his relationship with the players, this is an update from the club to Romano the day after we've been beaten by Leeds at home at Old Trafford. What? Who is running this football club? And is it actually an exercise in how far you can push a fan base before they explode? Because there are people out there that wake up on Tuesday morning after Man United lose to Leeds and choose positivity and swallow that nonsense. And I'm sort of sat here going, we haven't played good football for a very long time. We all know that Liverpool and Chelsea and Newcastle are having rubbish seasons. And we all know that we are basically third because there's a load of crap behind us. And yet United are happy with the situation. And that's that, you know, by all means, look, let's play devil's advocate. Maybe Man United are going to pull off a madness. Maybe Wilcox is there going like this, another day in the trenches, puts his hard hat on. It'll all be worth it at the end of May when I've got Nagelsmann, Anderson, and everyone says I've done a great job. Maybe that's going to happen. You know, let's be positive for a minute. Maybe it's all this crap because we're working a madness. Maybe that's what happened, yeah? Maybe that's what's happening. But how much would you bet that's going to happen? How much would you think that United are actually going to pull out a top-class manager and some top-class signings this summer? And if they're doing that, why are they putting it out there to people like Andy Mitten and Romano that they're happy with Carrick, they're happy with the tactics, they're happy with the players? Look, fundamentally, football is about results. You cannot have a club that can't stand you, a fan base that cannot stand you, come to your own manor, play you off the park and beat you, and then come out with, we're really happy with what's... I mean, that's the standards of Manchester United. I sort of saw it this morning, and I think the thumbnail says, what the? Because I'm sort of like, hold on a minute. We can all disagree, and we can all have our opinions, but if you are a Man United fan, please tell me what's acceptable about Leeds coming to Old Trafford, deservedly beating us, and then the club briefing, it appears, to journalists, we're happy with this manager, we're happy with the tactical approach. We're not fucking Burnley. We're Manchester United. Like, we used to lose games and they'd at least spin we were signing Gareth Bale or Ronaldo. We're now losing games to fucking shit and we're going, we're happy. Because they're just suppressing. They're suppressing the standards at the football club. I can't believe, we've won one game in the last four. We've lost two, drawn one, won one. We've played crap in most of those games. And the club are putting it out there, we're happy. We're happy. And like, who at that football club has a brain? Right? Who at that football club hasn't realised? I mean, Jason Wilcox has played football. He's played the game. He's played for Blackburn. He knows if there's a bad performance, the fans get on your back. He knows if you have a few bad performances, the fans want the manager out. Has he lost all logic? Mate, it's 20 times bigger at Man United. You can't just put out what you want to happen to the media and expect the fans to go, arr, 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 like a seal. We're not going to clap nonsense. And it's the same thing with Belaba. I'm really worried. I'm really worried about the standards of the football club and the people that are running it because they don't seem to understand.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, Baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What we are as a football club, and that the fact that you can't just tell fans what to think. You can't tell them, after losing to Leeds, everything's great. Everything is awesome. You know, It's like a WWE crowd singing, "This is awesome." It's not awesome. It's rubbish. You can't do that. And, you know, a simple lesson in PR for Man United, when you lose to Leeds at home, you come out the next day and say you're thinking about not going with Carrick, even if you are going with Carrick. It's a simple lesson in marketing here, right? If your club delivers something that you know your fans won't find acceptable, you come out with a strong statement, even if you're not going to follow through. They should have come out yesterday morning saying United aren't happy with Carrick. They're thinking about going for somebody else. And the fans would have gone, at least there's a bit of leadership there. They still could have gone with Carrick and said at the end of the day, we'll make it seem like we don't want Carrick and we're not happy with him. But if he beats Chelsea on Saturday, everyone will want him again anyway. But they don't. They come out and put a message out going, no, we're really happy. And that just makes things worse. It's standards, you know, the standards. And it's also the same with Belabor, because there is a running theme at United where they don't give a toss about logic. Forget fan opinion. They don't care about logic. I could easily say they don't care what you think. You know, they're just going to raise your tickets and, you know, they're already bleeding fans dry, aren't they? We all know that we made the same amount of money from 10 games this season that we made from 15 last year because they're hitting you in the pocket. You know, they don't care about that. They don't care about fans. That's factual. They don't care about fans. They don't consult you. They raise prices. They've got no interest in you at all. If Man United want to try and prove that they do, then actions speak louder than words. They don't care about what the fans think. But I also don't think they understand what Manchester United is either, which in some ways is more disrespectful, because loads of clubs disrespect their fans. It's wrong, but they do. But to disrespect what the football club is, they don't seem to get it. You can't come out with, if you get Champions League football, you get the Man United job. If you lose to Leeds and it's crap, we're happy. You have to set, if you own Manchester United Football Club, you have to set the standard. And that standard sometimes has to be totally and utterly unachievable. But you have to set that standard. You have to say, I want to win the Premier League. I want to win the Champions League. And people might go, yeah, we're never going to do that. But if you set that standard and that's where you're going, at least the standard's where it should be. You can't say the standard is, well, we've lost to Leeds and we're happy. I just, you know, this goes beyond listening to fans. This is about the identity of the football club and what it is trying to do. Because I'm absolutely terrified that we're basically just an asset to the Glazers, and what they're actually wanting to do already in their heads is write off the next 10 years. I'm terrified that they're basically going to write off the next 10 years, and they already have. And what I mean by that is, as long as we're fifth for the next 10 years and we build this stadium, we're fine. You're writing off people's lives. Football's a passion. Like, we love Manchester United. It's a passion. We want to win. You cannot just write the fucking next 10 years off with fifth place and go, we're happy with that, just so we can build a stadium. Am I terrified that that's what's happening? I'm terrified that they are visibly lowering the standards. And I think it's absolutely disgusting that we've got credible journalists talking after a Leeds loss, saying the club are happy. And also, it's not just that. We keep doing this. Belabor is crap. He's absolutely factually crap. He doesn't even get in the Brighton team. And for the whole season, the same journalists who we presume are being fed by the club are saying Man United don't care about Belabor's performances. Man United don't care about the backlash. They think there's a good player there. And you're sort of like, again, what are you doing? Do you not realise that this is just bad PR? This is bad for the club. You have to set the standards. You can't just go, it's okay to lose to Leeds. We still want this manager. It's okay that Belabor's crap and no one wants him. We still want him. You're sending a terrible message. An absolute, you know, I would rather lose to Leeds and we're trying to sign Gareth Bale again. I mean, the equivalent of Bale in the modern game would probably be Vinny J, wouldn't it? But at least I knew that was bullshit, but at least it was, they were trying to lie to us that we've got standards. They're not even trying to do that anymore. And what I mean by that is, if we'd lost to Leeds a few years ago when Bale was at Real Madrid doing really, really well, you'd wake up the next day and United would be trying to sign Bale. You'd know it was bollocks, but you'd go, well, it is bollocks, it is spin. Oh, I can't stand the Glazers. But you'd go, at least they're spinning us in the right way. They're at least they're trying to pretend that we're going to go on and get a world-class player. No, we're not even bloody pretending anymore. We're happy to lose to Leeds. It's okay. You know, it's all right because we all like the coaching staff and the players like the coaching staff and we enjoy being mediocre. It's not about the normal stuff. It's not about, oh, fans are being ripped off, protests. The club doesn't care about fans. It's not about that. That's a well-trodden path. What's worrying me now, especially over the last... It's only recently as well. I'm never going to give the Glazers any credit, but under the Glazers, they were very good at spinning. You know, if we lost a game, they'd go and buy a player. Remember the start of the season under Ten Hag? We've got no money. We lose two games. We find £120 million to get Casemiro and Antony. So the Glazers have been terrible for Man United, but they do know the spin game. When things go wrong, you've got to do big things. But it feels like over the last 12 months, we've abandoned that. We've abandoned that to the point where after bad results... Sorry, I think... The bots were coming for me there. Hopefully I'm back. Refresh. Thank you. Sorry. Let me know when I'm back. Actually, it's a good opportunity to just get rid of a couple of people in the chat who, for some reason, still think I'm going to start answering personal questions. Jog on. You're living in the past. You're living in yesterday. We're carrying on. I'm back now. YouTube. Yeah. Hold on. When everybody... Well, if I'm back, the only thing I can see at the moment is the like counter. It says we've got 5,100 watching and 418 likes. If you can see me and hear me, smash a like on the video. RX, you've just got yourself blocked forever with that one. I'm not taking that sort of stupidity in the chat. You know what you did. There we go. Okay, we're back. Thank you very much. Refresh. Yeah, so what I was basically... I forgot what I was getting. So what I was saying is, for me, the concerning thing is that in the last 12 months, we've started to do this type of thing whereby we effectively defy logic. I would call it we're defying logic. Like, as I said... The standards of the club seemed... I might be wrong on this. Please, I hope I'm wrong. Like, Nagelsmann wants the Man United job. We could be having secret talks with Nagelsmann. You know, in a miracle world, we might be having secret talks with Enrique. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just don't trust the club. But my fear is we're trying to build a stadium. We've got to fund it privately, which means we've got to pay that money back. We're already a lot of money in debt. Personally, I think that what we're setting ourselves, what the club are trying to do, and if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong, and hopefully they'll prove me wrong. What I think the club are trying to do is lower your expectations. Lower your expectations to a point that you defend the incompetence. I think they're trying to make you think we are Tottenham. I think they are trying to make you behave like a Tottenham fan. I think they are trying to make you grateful for signings like Belaba. I think they're trying to make you grateful for fighting for fifth. And I think they're setting you up to do it for the next 10 years because I think they know they can't fund a team to be successful and fund a stadium. So I think they're going, how do we fund a stadium? How do we keep the fans buying tickets? How do we stay in Europe? And therefore, it's fifth and sixth. And I think that's, you know, I think that's probably what United are looking to do. Because it just doesn't make any sense to me why we'd come out after games like Leeds and say we're happy with what's going on and brief at all. Sorry, I'm sorting that out. So, yeah, look, I don't know. But as I said before, like, you know, obviously I'm here to talk about United news and do what we always do. But as I said, one of the funniest things that I'll never, you know, I've said it to people so many times. I've had people say to me, oh, you're just so negative. And I'd go, yeah, you should have seen me in the 90s. Like, I wasn't negative then. You know, ultimately, if you're positive as a Man United fan, you're a Glazer, right? And they hate that. They absolutely hate that. But, you know, I can play that game. You can play that game. You know, if people want to come at us and say, oh, the negative stand, you're just negative, fine. I'll explain why I'm negative, because we've been absolutely shit for 13 years and the standards of this football club are eroding in front of our eyes like a stadium that shouldn't be knocked down. Maybe I'm sad. Maybe I'm scared. Maybe I don't like what's happening to the club I love. Maybe I completely disagree with knocking down Old Trafford. Maybe when that gets knocked down, it's going to hurt. Maybe I'm sad by how far we've gone from when Sir Alex Ferguson was here to today. Maybe I think it's unacceptable. Maybe I moan because I care. Maybe your positivity is stupidity. Maybe your positivity keeps the Glazers in power. Maybe your optimism is what they feed off. You know? There's two sides to the coin. If you think people who are negative are a problem with this fan base, I would say they're realists and they're the voice that matters. If you're positive about what's happening at the football club, I think you're part of the problem. I think you're naive. I think it's because of you that the Glazers survive. I think if everybody was negative and had had enough, like what would happen at Liverpool, we wouldn't have the Glazers in charge. I don't like Liverpool. They're our biggest rival, but there's no way the Glazers would be in charge of that football club because they'd get them out. Maybe the positive people at this football club are why the Glazers are here, you know? Anyway, look, let's move on. I want to talk next about a couple of transfer stories. I mean, look, talk about Nico Williams, Mark. This is coming in from Spain. Manchester United are considering a move for Atletico Bilbao winger Nico Williams as a potential replacement for Rashford. The Spanish winger has reportedly told his club he is open to leaving, boosting United's pursuit. United admire him for his direct dribbling and his pace and ability to defeat defenders one-on-one. I mean, I don't know. I mean, personally, I think that, you know, if we're replacing Rashford with Williams, it's never going to happen. What's more likely to happen is Barcelona take Williams and Rashford comes back to us. I mean, look, I hope I'm wrong on this, but the way the club's being run at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised if our big summer signing is Rashford coming back under Carrickey. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if United tried to do that. I really wouldn't. But I don't see Nico Williams happening. Of more interest is this story about, coming from the Mail. Man United are monitoring Bournemouth duo Kroupi and Senesi ahead of the summer. Look, there's nothing wrong with Kroupi. I don't really rate Senesi, if I'm being honest with you. But if we're monitoring, I mean, this is, let's say this is true, right? Man United are monitoring Kroupi and Senesi from Bournemouth. It's the wrong two players. A guy that's not even really a winger, Kroupi's not really a winger. He's not really anything at the moment. Is he a forward? Is he a 10? Is he a wide player? And a 29-year-old centre-back, and he will be 29 in the summer. Why are we monitoring these players? Like, if we're looking at Bournemouth, you're a moron if you're not looking at Trufferts and Scott. Like, they're the two players. If Man City were looking at Bournemouth, they'd go Scott and Truffert. If Liverpool were looking at Bournemouth, they'd go Scott and Trufford, unless they really need a centre-back or a player like Kroupi. So, look, nothing wrong with Kroupi, nothing wrong with Senesi, but if we're monitoring players at Bournemouth, they're not the two players that we should be going for. We need a left-back and we need a midfielder. And it's interesting, actually, you know, we shouldn't forget Leeds, even though the club are trying to gloss over the fact that Leeds was a good performance. We shouldn't forget Leeds because it was absolutely diabolical and it shouldn't be covered up with a red card or a hair pull. It was disgusting. But you know what? Obviously, Ahmad didn't play very well. And I did see that. Sorry, I'm still... Mods are doing a great job today, but we will get rid of everybody, don't worry. The Ahmad criticism, probably fair. The Ugarte criticism, probably fair. The Yoro criticism, probably fair. But what about Luke Shaw? I'm fed up of watching 90 minutes of Man United where we're absolutely dead down that left-hand side. And it's not even just the lack of ability going forward. I mean, against Leeds, he did try to go forward a little bit. He just can't do it anymore. But defensively, he's slow. As Anthony said, Luke Shaw cannot run. He's just so slow. Like, if he was in a decent team, he'd get exposed even more. Like, I think Luke Shaw gets away with it because there's always two or three players worse than him. But he's been terrible for weeks. And I, you know what? I've always said, when he got himself fit for the Euros, if that had been Paul Pogba, the press would not shut up about it. It got swept under the carpet by the club and the media. And now his bad performances have been swept under the carpet. I mean, we've still got people thinking he should go to the World Cup. I mean, you need to get out more. If you think Luke Shaw should be going to the World Cup, have you not watched any other... I mean, you only need to watch Man United games to know that he shouldn't go to the World Cup, because the left-back on the other team is going to be better than him. But, oh my God. The fact that the story was Luke Shaw's kept himself fit so he should go to the World Cup. I'm going to start doing laps of the village. And then, can I go to the World Cup? Because I'm fit as well. I mean, but what I'm serious, I don't give a toss about the World Cup. But what I really care about is Luke Shaw is the best left back in the world. Pick a card, Mark, says Terp. What I care about is Manchester United. And that position is... All right, it's not as much as a priority as the midfield, but it's absolutely a priority. We basically got a placeholder at left back. Not good enough. Absolutely not good enough. So look, we should be all over people like Truffert. Absolutely. I was trying to catch up on some of your comments. People need to chill out about the deal. If you do end up selling your soul, we can just say fuck off and leave it. It's lazy. I'm bored of this. I'm absolutely bored of it. I'm so bored of it. Like, people need to grow up or leave. It's not going to change and you're going to miss out. Leave, by all means, leave. Nothing's going to change. You're just listening to the scaremongers who've never liked us anyway. It's the same people who go, you know, negative stand. It's the same people. You know, wake up and smell the coffee in life. The people that are being negative about this deal are the people that never liked us anyway. And you're listening to them. And you never did. You never listened to them before. So why are you listening to them now? Nothing's going to bloody change. It's boring. Nothing's going to change. Are you still Glazers and Ineos out, Mark? No, I've decided I'm not Glazers and Ineos out now. I'm a Glazerite. I'm owned by the Glazers. I mean, God, it's hilarious. I'd rather just continue what we've been doing for 10 years, which is talk about football in a passionate and real way, because your silly questions are actually changing the channel. Because we just want to talk about what we've always talked about. And yeah. Mark, you don't praise Sir Jim. I don't know. Max, don't know what you're talking about. Let's hope we don't get thrashed by Chelsea. Dreading to see what the club will come out with then, says Ray. Congratulations, says Rajaf. This is the next step to the mountain. Thank you. The positive PR coming from the club. Here we go. Some common sense. Patrick Lynch, the voice of reason. Can always rely on Patrick or Emily to actually get the show moving in the right direction. Patrick Lynch says, the positive PR coming from the club just makes me feel that Wilcox, etc. are confirming they aren't good at their jobs. If I felt I couldn't get the best, I'd be saying I was happy with what I have to do. Yeah, yeah. You know what, Patrick? I think that's a very intelligent point. I can only speculate who's responsible. I personally think it's probably from the top, saying that we need to just be fifth for the next 5 years and build this stadium. And then it's Wilcox and Berada's job to sell it. But you can't polish a turd. And, you know, maybe Wilcox is putting it out there to people like Romano that they're happy with Carrick after losing to Leeds because he knows that's all he can do. And therefore, he's got to polish that turd. And that's what terrifies me. There's no logic to be telling people like Andy Mitten and Fabrizio Romano that you're happy with the coach when we've lost two of our last four and only won one and we're playing bad football. That's not the standards of Man United. I don't care whether it's Michael Carrick or Ruben Amorim. We may as well go back to Ruben Amorim if we're happy with this. You know, when you look at Amorim and what he was doing at the football club, yeah, the results weren't amazing, but we were joint fifth. He'd cleared the deadwood. He'd improved the squad. We were building a proper system. You could see the progress in intensity and chance creation. It was there to be seen. We were just not able to hold on to the leads, but maybe that would have come out of time. And it was never going to be a quick fix. And it was always going to be a long job under Amorim. And ultimately, he didn't get sacked because he failed. He got sacked because he asked for more. He wanted a midfielder. And he obviously fell out with Wilcox over wanting more, having tried to fix the basics at United and finally started removing players, he asked for more and Wilcox said no and they fell out and he got sacked. He didn't get sacked for results. So, you know, I'm sort of like, look, I'm not defending Amorim in any way. He's gone. You can't live in the past. But I'm sort of looking at it and going, United are putting out messages about being happy having lost to Leeds, but we've just sacked a manager 3 months ago who demanded more. We've just sacked a manager who was meant to be building a system. We've just sacked a manager where we were way more intense. We didn't look lazy. We've just sacked a manager where we were creating more chances. We've just sacked a manager where we were trying to get a bunch of crappy players to learn a new system and he asked for more players and he didn't do it. So I'm sort of confused about where we are at the moment. I'm scared about where we are at the moment because it seems to me we sacked a manager who was building something, rightly or wrongly, and we're now happy to lose to Leeds at home with no identity and no vision. The bar just seems to be very low. Lou Macari Chippy says, first in class meant sitting at the back as a kid doing nothing. Jordan, welcome to Members Club. I dislike United's hierarchy. Sacking Amorim was wrong. People already carry out before he joins, creating confusion and unfairness, says Jay. I said that yesterday morning or yesterday afternoon, didn't I? The thing that makes me really angry is that, you know, and obviously if we give Carrick the job, I will back him. I don't think he should get the job, but I do believe that once a decision's been made, you've got to give it a chance. I think it's a mistake, but I would back it. But what irritates me is they're doing a very bad job of giving him the job. They are. Like, I know a lot of people who are dead against giving it to Carrick. Some of you are in this chat. And he's not going to have any patience. He's not going to have any time. And that's on the club. They've completely and utterly messed this up again because they're incompetent. And look, I'm sure Michael Carrick would, if he gets the job, will be over the moon. But I would say to Carrick, they've done you dirty, mate. They've done you dirty because you look at Ollie, there was a whole big bandwagon, everyone was singing the song and it still went wrong. With you, half the fan base don't even want you. You know, you've not got that goodwill from half the fan base. So, you know, straight away, people don't want you. And therefore, you're going to have to be successful from the start, which is impossible because you're clearly going to need time. So I think the club are setting him up to fail. Maybe they're doing it on purpose. I don't know. I still hold on to the dream that all this is spin and behind the scenes, they're working on something else. I still hold on to the hope that there is some competence left in Manchester United and that whilst they're saying they're happy with Carrick, he's just a placeholder while they work on something else. That's what a competent football club would do. You know, they'd make everybody think one thing's happening and go and do something else. And, you know, I hope I am. Look, honestly, if I was in charge of Man United and I was trying to get somebody else, I probably would be saying we're happy with what we've got. Honestly, I could easily say something negative about that and say, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd let everybody know. But there is a theory that if you are looking to get Nagelsmann or Emery or Simeone or Enrique or a competent manager, most of those people are in a job at the moment. You can't really be public unless they're happy for you to be public. Well, they're not. Most of them clubs and countries aren't going to be happy. So what I would do is I would be saying, you know, if I was Sir Jim Ratcliffe and, you know, Jason Wilcox said to me, Nagelsmann does want the job, but this can't get out, I'd be saying, right, we do absolutely everything we can to make sure it doesn't get out. You know, get Romano and tell him that we're happy with Carrick. Get Andy Mitten and tell him we're happy with Carrick. And then we'll just keep doing that. That's what I would do. But the more I say it, the more it sounds ridiculous. Because I don't think people like Andy Mitten are going to like the fact that we signed Nagelsmann when we've got Champions League football. And as Andy Mitten said last night, if Michael Carrick gets Champions League football, he gets the job. And that's just incredible. And I actually think that's probably true. I think it probably is true. And that's just incredible. It's incredible to me how crap the standards are at this football club now. They just don't care. Like I said, they just don't even care about lying about being good. They don't even want to spin you for positivity. They actually just want to tell the truth and say, yeah, we are crap. We don't know what we're doing. We can't get Simeone, Benito. Did you know that Simeone is...
I think he's on the best. I think he's the best paid manager in the world, Simeone. I think I'm right in that. Marlo says, good morning. At least the Carrick Brigade can't use results as an argument anymore. And without that, nothing speaks in Carrick's favour. I suppose you're right, Marlo. Yeah, I'd never really thought about it like that. I mean, look, the results are still good. They're getting a bit, you know, in they're harder to... No, they're still good results. I mean, I'd still say Carrick's got results. Credit to Carrick. He has got his results. I don't think the performance or the vision's there. But you are right. It depends where you draw the line, doesn't it? Because in the last four games, we've won one. We've taken 4 points from 12. So I suppose you're right. Stu, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for that. Marlo's back again. He says, Ineos treating us fans as sport kids. You're not having that anymore. They need to self-reflect. Bad parenting leads to dysfunctional families, says Marlo. BRT says, they sacked Amorim for demanding success. All we need to know about the leadership and their standards. Look, there is a statement I can make, and I'm sure it will be, you know, misinterpreted, argued with, debated, but that's surely what it's all about. Amorim got sacked for being ambitious. Carrick's going to get the job for falling into line. Welcome to Man United in 2026.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There is context to that. We don't necessarily know Carrick's just going to be a puppet, but it feels like they want one. We do know Amorim got sacked for falling out with Wilcox over ambition. I'm not saying Amorim should have kept the job. What I'm saying is we sacked an ambitious manager to go for a puppet. This is exactly what Chelsea did. Maresca was ambitious and they sacked him. Rosinha is a puppet. I mean, I'll tell you something for free. We do follow the Chelsea model, and the Chelsea model is to go from ambitious to a puppet, because I'll tell you this for free. There's no manager in their right mind that's going to suspend Enzo Fernandez for the Man City game off their own accord. They suspended one of their best players for one of their biggest games in the running. They didn't need to do it. If the FA suspend a player, there's nothing you can do. You don't suspend your own player. So there's no way Rosinha has power at Chelsea, because there's no manager in the world that would go, I'm going to suspend my own player because he flirted with Real Madrid. We are following the Chelsea model, and look at what it's done for them. Boards can't run football clubs. They just can't do it. Amad only plays well when United have barely 35% possession because he can defend a little and run a little. Can't cross, can't head, can't pass, says Bal. I think there's a video in Amad. I'm just going to hold off on it, and hopefully he puts in a worldie against Chelsea. But there is definitely a video in Amad as to why he's been so bad under Carrick. I mean, Carrick has given him time. Carrick has given him, opportunity. But... It just feels like, yeah, it's not going to be good. There's a little bit more from Romano, just to go back. I mean, how are Man United happy for this? You know, I would be telling Romano to delete this tweet and say, where the hell did you get this shit from? But it makes you think it must be true. Even after the Leeds game, which the referee also impacted, shut up. The referee did not impact the Leeds game. Why are we putting that out there? The referee did not... If you watch that game, the referee did not impact the Leeds game. He hypothetically impacted the Leeds game, but we were 2-0 down and playing shit when Martinez got sent off. And we played shit all game. We can't hide behind the bloody referee. This is what I mean. These are the people that keep the Glazers in power, because they write Leeds off as we got robbed by the referee. We were shit. We should have been 3-0 down at half-time. We were rubbish. You can't blame the referee for that. Anyway, Romano's done it. Even after the Leeds game, which the referee impacted, the general feeling is positive around Carrick. They're very happy with him, his attitude, tactical decisions, approach, and his relationship with the players and the leaders of the dressing room. Yeah. Ultimately, I'd rather have a manager who everybody hates but wins games of football. Because winners don't take prisoners. The way we play, the problems we have seem so obvious. Why the so-called experts are so oblivious to what we need and where we are. It's incompetence, says Jordan. People need to... Done that from Slazy. Thank you very much. Jordan. Yep, just read that. Thank you, pal. Best in class or best in fast. Bloody Glinios is cool. And Rodri flirted with Madrid and still plays. Yeah, exactly. It's weird. John United says, we've rewarded players with less training, lower intensity and comfort. That's a recipe for failure. How do they cope with two games a week? Carrick's been here with Ollie before. He should have known, says Adichio. Ineos's treat. I've done that one from Marlow as well. I've never flirted with Madrid, but I have flirted in Madrid, and that's why my wife left me, says One Inch Wonder. And Whoop says, everyone giving you crap, I commend you on being able to put past differences aside to what's best for everyone. Congratulations. Thank you, pal. Best in class. Rodri flirted with Madrid and still plays, says Alvin. Appreciate that as well. There was something I wanted to say. Yeah, well, look, you know, I have quite a good memory. And what was it Bruno said before the Leeds game? Remember all the PR we got a week ago? Ahmad, I mean, look, mate, it's always good to revisit PR because you call it PR at the time and some people say stop being negative. But then things happen and you go, well, was it PR? So a week ago, Ahmad, who everybody's saying has been crap under Carrick, sat there and said, I think Carrick should get the job. And I said, shouldn't be listening to players anyway. Doesn't matter what the players think. And a player that's being treated well by a manager will want him to get the job. But Ahmad sat there and basically said he wants Carrick to get the job. And yet Ahmad's been crap under Carrick. And Carrick keeps picking him. Bruno sat there and said the difference between Amorim and Carrick is that Carrick has given the players more freedom and responsibility. So I think reading between the lines, we have a team that trains less and fact... Look, right, let's just deal in fact here, right? We have a team that is playing bad football that factually doesn't run as much as it did under Amorim, that is starting games worse and worse by every game, can't play two games a week, lacks intensity, as I said, and also a captain that is basically saying that we like this manager because he gives us more freedom and responsibility. And on top of that, apparently we do less training. So we're not as intense, we're not playing good football, and the captain of the team is saying that the manager gives the players more responsibility. It sounds to me like a little bit of a laugh. Sounds to me a little bit like players have got a lot of control and they can decide what they do, and that's what happened. That's why you get results like Leeds. You don't give your players responsibility unless you can trust them. You don't give your players freedom unless they're playing good football. So it just feels a little bit like Ollie all over again. And thankfully, unlike under Ollie, we actually had a good first 18 months before it fell apart. It just feels very like Ollie at the moment. And we've done that. And it was good. It was for 18 months under Ollie, it was really good. It was really good. But we've been down that road. We've been down that road. And I thought Ineos were meant to be something new. And in many ways, I think they're just a bad version of the Glazers. As I said, at least the Glazers, after a loss, would pretend we were going to sign a world-class player. Now, after a loss, we say we're happy, you know? Anyway, thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Beth is back at 2, and appreciate that. Apologies for the live chat. We will work our way through, people. But what's basically happened is that a few people have been rattled who've never liked this channel anyway. And see it as an opportunity to try and infiltrate and cause problems. But as you'll know, for the last 3 shows, we've just been talking about football like we have done for the last 10 years, and that's what we'll continue to do. And I would say to those people as well, instead of being obsessed about something, that you think is negative. Maybe look at why some United fans are negative, because wake up call, slow sports news, Man United had been shit for 13 years. And if you're not negative about your football club being shit, then are you not a facilitator to the Glazers anyway in pretending that things are positive? And if you can tell me what we've got to be positive about, let's have a conversation like we always do. But we've factually been shit for 13 years. I can't remember us playing three good games in a row, good football, in 13 years. We very rarely qualify for the Champions League. We've not been in a title race. We constantly sack managers. We pretty much are shit by the standards I would set for this football club. And if that's negativity, I call it truth. And if you want to be positive about that, maybe I could call you a Glazerite. Works both ways. Thanks everyone for watching. Stay safe. Take care. I'll speak to you later.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.